Dear ones, let's bow our hearts in prayer. Lord, a blessing it is to come together in the house of worship, O Lord, as we have assembled around thy holy word. We pray a blessing upon our gathering, upon the reading and meditation of thy word. Lord, may our hearts be prepared for this word that thou wilt have for us this evening. May we humbly receive from thee, O Lord, the instructions that thou hast blessed us with. Thou hast loved us and shown us thy ways, and we pray, O Lord, that we would accept and receive thee into our hearts, O Lord, and to live according to thy holy will. Bless us one and all in this evening. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Dear ones, for this evening's reading and meditation, I desire to read from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 22. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 22, I desire to read the first 14 verses. And Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables, and said, The kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son, and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Again he sent forth other servants, saying, Tell them which are bidden, Behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. But they made light of it, and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants, and entreated them spitefully, and slew them. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, and he sent forth his armies, and destroyed those murderers, and burned up their city. Then saith he to his servants, The wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he saith unto him, Friend, how camest thou in hither, not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servants, Bind him hand and foot, and take him away. And cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen. May God bless our reading. Let us. The chapter that we have before us, dear ones, is a chapter that I pray will cause each one of us to have some moments of self-examination, some moments of reflection upon our own life, upon where we are in life, where we want to be, and do we truly want to be? The Pharisees were the chief priests and the elders. They were asking Christ about the authority in which he is speaking, and he gave some parables in the previous chapter. And they were going to take him, as it says in the last closing verses, because when he answered them, he said they perceived that he was speaking about them. And the things that he had said in those parables was condemning to them. And so because he spoke condemnation to them, they were mad. And it said they were going to lay hands on him. So they were ready to crucify him right then and there. It said, but they feared the multitude. They feared the multitude. And they couldn't do it at that moment, because they took him as a prophet, the people. And so Jesus now is answering them again. He's continuing his parables, and he speaks to them this parable, which I think if we really consider what we just read, it is probably one of the, I don't know if I can even say that, but one of the greatest of Christ's parables for our time, right now. When he speaks of a wedding, speaks of an invitation, of a wedding feast, an invitation that had been made, as he describes here, to the house of Israel. He sent prophets to invite them. They made light of him. They says later that they he sent other servants when they wouldn't come. He said they were bidden to the wedding. Come. And we have to think about what a wedding is. A wedding feast without guests is no wedding feast at all. It's nothing. You have to have guests. And the guests come to honor the bride and the groom. They come as to honor them. And so as the invitation was going out, he said, the kingdom of heaven, he's speaking about the kingdom of heaven, it's like unto a king which made a marriage for his son. And he sent forth his servants to call them to the wedding. They were bidden, come, and they would not come. They're not interested. They don't want to give honor at the wedding by appearing there. And so he sends other servants saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner. Everything is done. The oxen, the fatlings are killed. Everything, all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. The king is calling. And they made light of it. They thought it was more important to go to their farm, to their merchandise, and to come to honor the king and partake in this wedding feast. And Christ has indeed, we see the history through the scriptures that all of this had taken place. We read the history of Israel, how they had rejected the Messiah, the Savior. They rejected him entirely. They rejected him way back, leaving Egypt onto the promised land, and continually the prophets were sent, and we have hundreds of years that have gone by with the invitation and the rejection. They would not come. They would not come. And they made light of it. And so then it says here that the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. We see the history of the prophets as they are being murdered and tortured and killed because of obedience to the king who has sent them to go to invite guests to his wedding feast. And it says, then when the king heard this, he was wroth. And he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their cities, in their city. And then he said to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. And so there is an invitation for the wedding It's continuing on today. Everything is ready. The oxen and the fatlings are killed. All things are ready. Come unto the marriage is the invitation. And each one of us will respond to this invitation. We will respond by going on to our own merchandise, our own farms. We're going on to our own pursuits and pleasures, whatever they might be. We're going to go our way and make light of the most important invitation that one can ever receive. And that is to come and to partake in the feast that is prepared by the Lord Jesus himself. And so, as we continue this parable, we see it's in its familiarity, we know what we have coming here. It says that he goes to his servants and he tells them he was wroth. He destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. Then he said to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid them to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways. They gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good. And the wedding was furnished with guests. There was a response made to the gospel call. And the wedding is filled. And when the wedding is filled, it tells us what happens. The king comes in. This is the moment that all of the guests are waiting for. The king makes his appearance. And as the king comes in and makes his appearance, he looks and he sees the guests and he sees a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he says to him, friend, how camest thou in hither not having a wedding garment? So the king supplied the wedding garment. This man refused it, but he wanted to come in and partake in the feast. He wanted to come in and partake in the blessings of church, fellowship, the blessings of a promise of a life that continues after this life is over. He wants to partake in all of the blessings of God, everything. I've come to partake of that, but I will not put on the wedding garment. He forced himself in somehow. He came in without a garment. And it doesn't say here that the servants wouldn't let him in, and he was in. He was in the wedding feast. But he wasn't in the wedding garment that was being prepared by the king. And so the king asked him, friend, how did you think to come in this to this wedding and you didn't have on a garment? And let's listen to the answer that the man gave. He is speechless. When he stood before the king, he had nothing to say. When the king wasn't there, he had plenty to say. If we are such who refuse the wedding garment that is being offered by our Savior today, we have a lot to say to anyone who would come and tell us, my brother, my friend, my sister, the wedding garment is lacking. You don't have the wedding garment. And we have much to say to them. We can answer them. We can dare them to come to us because we have something to say too, to them. But when we stand before the glory of the Almighty God, you're speechless. What are you going to say? What are you going to say to the all-knowing one who had prepared everything? The fatling and the oxen were killed. Everything was ready. All we have to do is love the King and come to honor him. And when we come to honor him, he gives us, he prepares for us a wedding garment and offers it to us. You can't just come in. You can't just say, I want to honor the King and I'm going to come in and I'm going to partake of this feast. No, you have to be ready. You have to prepare yourself and you have to dress for the occasion. And we look at our own lives, we look at our own selves, and we have to ask ourselves, do I have on a wedding garment? This isn't just something to give a weak answer to. This is something that it should actually cause us fear. Solomon in the book of Proverbs, he says, happy is the man that feareth always. We say, well, why am I happy to fear? Well, it will cause a self-examination, right? Because if I have to think about it, wait a minute, am I going to be standing before God Almighty and he says, friend, you came in, but where's your wedding garment? And just stand there and look, because you know you have nothing to say. You know it was very easy for you to still partake in all of the pleasures and things that you enjoyed before you came in. And so we would have to, how can we answer? Is it very easy for us, brothers, sisters, my dear friends, is it very easy for us to still partake in friendships that continually call us, pull us, drive us away and into places we shouldn't visit, things we shouldn't do? Is it easy for us to partake in things that do not honor the King? Because the wedding garment is a change in who we are. And it is the putting on of his robes of righteousness. You can't put on robes of righteousness that the Savior gives unto us and continue living as this friend who came in without a wedding garment. His life was void of that which the Savior gives and empowers those who love him to live like. His life was void of that. And being void of that, the King said to the servants, bind him hand and foot. Here's a King who we see earlier. We see his power. He was wroth. Why? Because his son, he's bidding us to his son's wedding feast, who deserves all the honor and the glory. And he says, So he sends forth his armies and destroys these murderers and burned up their city. We see power. And then we immediately see mercy. He says, go out into the highways and call others. Call them all. Fill up the banquet hall. Because everything is made ready. And so God today is inviting and calling. He's calling us to come into this wedding feast. And the response to the one who did not have on a wedding garment is bind him hand and foot. Take him away. Cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Dear ones, this does not sound good. This does not sound like a place that any of us want to be cast into. And you know, there is nothing that you and I can do, or nothing that we could say, to describe hell for what it really will be. None of us can. You can imagine the most terrible things and try to describe hell in the worst way possible, and you won't be able to even scratch the surface of what hell is. And why will we end up in hell? Why will the one who is in hell end up there? No wedding garment. He didn't put it on. And don't comfort. Let's not comfort ourselves, brothers and sisters, and just say, well, I'm here. Let's examine ourselves. Is the wedding garment on? Will the king come in and see a life fashioned after his son? A life of meekness and holiness, walking in the fear of the Lord, honoring him. Honoring him is obeying him and serving him. Willing to forsake old friendships that continue to lead me away, old habits that continue to pull me away. Why would it be easy for us to continue in the things that God empowers us to have victory over? There's only one answer. We don't love the king. We don't want to honor him. We love life more. And the pale horse is pursuing us. You notice there came a time that the king was wroth with those who refused to answer the invitation. There's a time that it was over. Because they were indifferent. You can even say, well, I'm not some big old sinner. You don't have to be. You just go back to your own farm. Go back to your own merchandise. Think of something else as more important than devoting my life to Jesus Christ, giving my heart unto him. And if there's anything that's more important, we will be held speechless, bound hand and foot, taken away, cast into outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. How many calls will we receive? We don't know that. Many are called. Every Sunday, every Wednesday when we are here, we hear a call. Anytime the thought, the mere thought of God enters our mind, we are called. Don't dismiss it. Whenever you think of God, God is talking to you. You can't say, I wasn't invited to the wedding. Yes, you were. But the farm and the merchandise and everything else, if you don't look any different, there had to be a distinction made for the guests who came into the wedding feast. You have to look different. You have to be different than anyone outside. You have to be, or you're not dressed for the occasion. So God has called us out of this world, and he gives us his word, his law, his garments of righteousness, robes that we are to put on by his mercy. Did we deserve to be here? Do we deserve to be at this feast where the fatlings and the oxen are killed and made ready? Do we deserve that? Did anyone here deserve it? No. And so, dear ones, when we self-examine, who do we compare ourselves to? Other denominations, Mormons, Catholics, whatever. Jews, compare yourself to anyone you want. There's some that are extremely strict in some ways and extremely ignorant of God's ways in other ways. And we could look at this, well, at least they're doing this. And God doesn't ask us to pinpoint anything in his word and focus on that. He gave us his law. It's all beautiful and lovely and to be desired. It's a way of life for us. It's a way that gives life. And if we examine ourselves, are we examining ourselves in light of the word? Because as the brother mentioned, even in the prayer, when we see ourselves in the light of the word of God, brothers and sisters, there's not one of us here that's proud. You can't look at this word and say, and look at the life of Jesus Christ and be proud. I'm ready for the coming of the King. We have to examine ourselves and ask ourselves, how is my response to things, and what do I do? How do I react? And what is my goal? Do I listen to this invitation? Am I at this wedding feast? Am I partaking of it right now? Have I put on the King's garments that he gave me? Have I put them on? Has my life changed to a way in which I am honoring the King by being present at his wedding? Because that's what the guests do. They honor those that are there. Only a few are chosen. How many is that few? There's many called, few chosen. Are you and I the chosen one? Are we the chosen one? And what do we put down as, yes, I am chosen? I feel I am chosen. I know you feel you're chosen. We've given our lives to Christ, right, brothers and sisters? We've testified. We've been baptized in the death of Christ and so on. But we all know that life has a way of deadening us to the beauties of the Lord and the busyness in life and everything that is kind of deadens us to the law of God. And then we reflect upon a previous experience of baptism. Yeah, I remember 10 years ago, 30 years ago, 50 years ago, I gave my life to the Lord. But today, who am I? Who am I today? Am I growing in grace? Because the Lord Jesus is supplying everything for us to continually grow. And you have to be different than the world. Have to be. Because the world is a system that is run by the devil. That's what the world is. It's devilish. It's full of pride, full of lust, full of envy, full of jealousy, full of I want to be this, I want to be this, I want to show myself. It's full of everything like that. Pursuits of farms and merchandise continue on. People kill for it. That's the world outside of Christ. In Christ, there's meekness and gentleness. There's love. There's joy. There's peace. There's calm. When a storm is brewing, and there's calmness. There's love. And so, dear ones, may we take a moment tonight when we go to bed. Have some thoughts on who am I? And is the Lord pleased with me? Am I going to stand speechless before him when I stand before him? And so may the Lord be with us in those moments of self-examination. Let his word, not anyone, what anyone says, but what his word says, let that be our guide. And we will see. We will see. Can we say, as the Apostle Paul said, I have fought a good fight. I kept the faith. I'm ready to be offered. May he bless his word on each one of our hearts this evening. And may he bless us in those moments of self-examination, that we will truly grow in grace before him. Amen.
As was mentioned in the chapter before, the Pharisees had perceived that they spake, that Jesus was speaking of them. And then he proceeds to tell this parable yet again about them. And then they follow up, and they then went the Pharisees, it says in verse 15, and took counsel how they might entangle him in his talk, to seek to find a way to prove why what Jesus said doesn't apply to them. But those who hear the word of Jesus Christ and know its truth and find ourselves in need, we will follow what Apostle James wrote to the churches to help us respond properly when he says, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. May God bless us in those moments when we pray before we go to bed and meditate on what we've heard, that we would share with God and let him do his work in time to save. Amen.